amen, to continue to push for the Run for Hope. I think we're at 11,000 dollars right now. Amen. Come on. So somebody say hallelujah for that. Amen. But we want to reach 30,000. So we could still do it. We just have to push, amen, and I'm gonna know God's able, amen. So we got to keep on pushing, and God is able, and I'm excited this morning, amen. I thank God for my salvation. I thank God for the privilege to be able to be here today to speak His word, to be pastor today, to be pastor of this church, and to be your pastor. It's a blessing to. I'm just very grateful this morning, amen. And I love God very much, and I love you all very much, and I believe God's gonna speak to us this morning. And if you could go ahead and turn your Bibles with me to Matthew 28. We're going to read in Matthew 28, and then we're also going to read three, four verses in Matthew chapter 16. And I'm excited. Also, about just like how Brother Ralph was saying about the end of this year, you know, we're getting, man, didn't September fly by, right? It's already almost over. We got October, November, December. I'm excited in October. As I mentioned, I think it was last week or the week before, we're getting ready. We're going to have our October wave, we're going to have our October revival. And then I had an opportunity lately to, you know, I was around Pastor Art Blahos. And was able to talk to him for a little bit. So we're looking about having the drama Blood In, Blood Out here in November, which that'll be great, amen. November, about toward the middle of November. And then we got some great outreaches taking place also, amen, in December. So we want to really end in a bang. And this is all not for us to just do something for us. This is for us to be able to reach people, amen, that God would draw them and that they would give their lives to Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. In the process of it, God's going to do something in your life. Amen. He's going to do something great, and He's going to continue to do a great work within your heart and within your life, wherever you're at. He's going to build you, and He's going to take you to another level. And that's why even what tonight's about is in our pathway to your destiny. It's about that. It's about you coming and getting equipped and being ready. As all these things take place, you want to be sharp. You want to be in tune. You want to be ready. You want to have a cutting edge when we're rallying the troops together, doing the drama, doing the different things that are taking place. We want to be able to be sharp and be able to be used by God. Amen. And these are the things that God is going to use. Amen. This morning, I want to speak about a word. The word is unstoppable. Amen. And I want to talk about, you could title it, being God's victorious church. Being God's victorious church. Somebody say unstoppable. In Matthew 28, verse 18, the Bible reads like this. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." You put it on seconds there, bro. Good job. That's all right. You fix it. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Somebody say that's power. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." These are the words, the last charge that God gave His disciples before He went up to be with the Father. And then in Matthew 16, He's having a conversation with Simon Peter, and He asks Simon Peter, "Peter, who do they say I am?" And then in Matthew 16:16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for just your presence, your anointing. Speak to us this morning, Lord. Have your way. Anoint my life, God. Let it be less of me and more of you, God, and that you would just receive all the glory for everything that has taken place and is going to continue to take place, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says amen and amen. You go ahead and be seated. Somebody say unstoppable. Say it again. Say unstoppable. I want to talk about that word this morning, unstoppable, in the terms of being God's victorious church. How many know that we are God's victorious church? Amen. And in these scriptures, we see how the Lord had given them a charge, and he said, all authority's been given to me. And he's saying, I'm sending you in that authority to go and to make disciples of all ages. And he says, I, who have all authority, who all authority has been given to, is going to be with you always, even to the very end of the age. Tell your neighbor, God is always going to be with you. And then in Matthew 16, we see he's having a conversation there with Peter. And he says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And he says, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Somebody say unstoppable. And he says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He gave them authority. And he said, you're unstoppable. He said, my church is unstoppable, and God has called us to be his victorious church. We are God's victorious church. Somebody say amen. You know, in February of 1980, a lot of people know this, probably men that like sports will know it more, but it's actually one of the top, when they have like a top 10 of all sporting things that have ever taken place, this is almost all the time, it falls on number one. Sports story of all time. And it's in February 1980, the U.S. Olympic hockey team, they had a game that is called the Miracle on Ice. It's called the Miracle on Ice. And back then, all the other, like the USSR, the Soviet Union, they were all like the best hockey teams. Nobody could beat them for years and years and years. They were always the reigning champions when it came to the Olympics, and nobody could beat them. And then even the U.S., they always played their college players. So their college players, they would do good, but they would never beat the Soviet Union. They would never do good like that. And on that, in that year in 1980, in those Olympics, is what is called the Miracle on Ice. And those collegians, they had shocked the world by upsetting the powerful Soviet team. And then they grabbed the championship from Finland while the crowd was chanting, USA! USA. It was like, when you see it, man, it gives you chills. It's one of those sports stories that when you check it out, it's a heavy historic moment. And before his team's victory over the Soviet Union, which advanced them into the finals, the coach of the U.S. hockey team told his players, he told them this, he got them together, and he said, you were born to be a player. He said, you are meant to be here at this time. This is your moment. Right? And they're sitting there in the locker room, and he begins to tell them this, and he begins to give them this speech. You're born to be a player. You are meant to be here at this time, and this is your moment. And this is what I know. And this is what I want to say this morning to this church, that though people count you out, come on, somebody, and some people in your life would secretly even sit back and expect and count on you to fail. Oh, you ain't hearing me this morning. Ain't nobody know nothing about no real life stuff. And even though people might count you out, and people might even expect for you to fail, I want you to know this. This is what I know, and this is what I want you to know, that you were born for this. You are meant to be here at this time, and this is your moment. You are, this morning, you are a prophetic church. I said, you are a prophetic church. I want you to preach back at me a little bit this morning, because I'm going somewhere. But you are a prophetic church. What are you talking about, Pastor Rob? Well, what I'm saying is this, is there are promises concerning you. There's promises that were made concerning you, that people a long time ago were prophesied over about when your time would come. In other words, this morning, you are a fulfillment people, and you are a fulfillment generation. So you have to take hold of the promises of God and answer the call that God has given you within your life. How many know we're a prophetic church? David Livingstone, he was a missionary to Africa. He went to darkest Africa as a lone missionary, and after some time,
his missions committee wrote to him saying, he was there, right? He went by himself. He's in Africa. And then the missions committee wrote to him, and they were saying, some people would like to join you. What's the easiest road to get to where you are? He replied, if they're looking for the easiest road, tell them to stay in England. I want people who will come even if there's no road at all. Come on, somebody. I want to talk about a word this morning, and the word that I want to talk about is the word unstoppable. I want to talk about being God's victorious church. I said God's victorious church. That word unstoppable, it means impossible to stop or prevent. Okay? That word unstoppable, it means unbeatable, and it means unconquerable. There's no thrivers here this morning that know what I'm talking about. Come on, somebody. I want to talk to the people that are on fire today. So if you're not on fire, you could be quiet. But if you're on fire, I want you to get excited this morning, because I want to talk to the people that understand that God has called you to be unstoppable, unbeatable, unconquerable. There's no thrivers here this morning. Come on, somebody. I want you to hear. I want you to understand this, church. This is what I want you to understand. I'm not just trying to get you excited. I'm not just trying to give you a message that is going to, you know, give you, you know, get you excited, pump you up. Yeah, we're going to take the world. I'm not trying to do that this morning. I'm trying to tell you a truth. And the truth is this, is that this church is precious. I said, this church is precious. She is a beautiful church. God's love towards her is indescribable. This church right here is his bride. Yeah. And she is unstoppable. And she is unstoppable. Not because she's more in number or greater, or acts like she's really bad or can't be messed with. It's for the people that like to act like they're really bad and can't be messed with. But because he chose her. I said because he chose her. And he that chose her is unstoppable. Oh, you ain't hearing me this morning. I said he that chose her is unstoppable. He's unstoppable. The one that called her, the one that shed his blood for her, the one that separated her, the one that birthed her in 1980. You ain't hearing me this morning. The one that called her, predestined her, prophesied over her is unstoppable. Not because she's more in number, not because she's greater than all the others, but simply because he chose her. And the one that chose her is unstoppable. And he that chose her, I want you to understand, he that chose her, he that chose this church, this beautiful, precious church that he loves so indescribably, is a jealous God. The one that chose her is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. He says, you're mine. He says you're mine. You're not theirs. You're mine. I would hate to be the one that comes against her. Oh yeah, I can't get it. It's getting deep right now. Because he chose her. She's unstoppable. He's a jealous God. And I would hate to be the one that comes against her. This is also why he deals with her. He corrects her. And he will never leave her alone. Because she is his. I said, she is his, this church. She belongs to him. She belongs to Jesus. She is the bride of the bridegroom. He shed his blood for her. Because here's what's heavy. You are his. You are the church. I said, you are the church. You belong to him. You are precious. And don't take it lightly. Do you understand? To be something that is so precious to the Lord, that he is jealous over, and that you are a part of it, and to take it lightly. To even to go as far as to say that you would rather not be a part of something that he is so jealous of and is so precious to him and is so unstoppable. Don't take it lightly. And you are his. You are the church. Come on, somebody. And because he who chose you is unstoppable, this morning you are unstoppable. See, I heard this said a lot of times, and it's so true, that one person plus God equals an unstoppable force. I said one person plus God equals an unstoppable force. God never had a problem saving whether by many or by few. As a matter of fact, most of the time he preferred to save by few. You ain't hearing me this morning. He preferred to save by few. He said, no, there's too many. Well, they got a big army, 125,000. I don't care. It's too many. Well, we only got 30,000. They outflank us 500-1. I don't care. It's too many. He said, I'd rather take it down to 300 against 120,000. Because God never had a problem. Because one person plus God is an unstoppable force. We're talking about today what it means to be unstoppable. When you think about things that are unstoppable, there's several things that people view as unstoppable are actually stoppable. Somebody say amen. For example, every athlete or sports team that has been perceived as unstoppable were stopped at some point. Come on, somebody. The longest winning streaks in professional sports history all came to an end. Whether it was the Lakers, whether it was the Raiders, whether it was the Cowboys or the Niners, the Bulls, the Yankees, or even the Patriots. Every winning team in professional sports was or will eventually be stopped. Somebody say amen. They may be unstoppable for a time, but that time always comes to an end. Somebody say amen. Every unstoppable business, every legendary icon, every you name it, they all eventually fade. None of them are truly unstoppable. Somebody say amen. The only truly unstoppable force in this world is the force that comes from God. Somebody say, praise the Lord for that this morning. And if you ask people what is unstoppable, people will probably say, of course, God is unstoppable. Come on, somebody. Jesus is unstoppable. The Holy Spirit is unstoppable. God's love is unstoppable. God's will is unstoppable. Come on, somebody. Some may say the wind or a tornado or the waves of the sea, but these things, they all come from God. They're God's creation. Somebody say amen. But I will add today that God's church is unstoppable. I said God's church is unstoppable. The church will never disappear from the landscape. Somebody say amen. Until God takes her. And even when he takes her, she'll still be there. And she will be ready to come back for complete victory and reign in Jesus forever and ever and ever in eternity until the enemy is locked down, come on somebody, in the lake of fire to never come out again. Jesus promised to build a church. Am I right? And Satan has done everything he can to stop it. But the church has continued. Even through unbelievable persecution, the church has continued. God's church, God's purpose, God's power, and God's people will prevail. The only truly unstoppable force in this world comes from God. And in that number one, there's an unstoppable faith. Somebody say faith. You look at the qualities and characteristics of a man who has had one of the greatest impacts on the history of Christianity. His name is the Apostle Paul. And Paul clearly possessed unstoppable qualities like determination, like integrity, and also like humility. Somebody say amen. These qualities, they help them to live an unstoppable life with an unstoppable faith, which led to an unstoppable future for those who are in Jesus. So what was behind these qualities that Paul possessed? I'm glad you asked. Was it Paul's character? Was it his grit? Was it his determination? Well, the thing that made Paul unstoppable and gave him unstoppable faith was the Spirit of God that lived and dwelled within inside of his life. Secondly, number two, there's an unstoppable church. Somebody say unstoppable. And since the church is made up of people, we focus on the qualities of these unstoppable Christians. When you look at the church, those that made up the church, when you look at the book of Acts, when you look at the martyrs who laid their lives down, who would rather have been burned, they were ripped in two, they were hung on crosses, they were burned at the stake, they would rather die than to reject their God, to reject Jesus, or to deny their Jesus. Somebody say amen. Qualities of these, you got to look at the, when you talk about the unstoppable church, you got to look at the qualities of these unstoppable Christians, these disciples. Somebody say, I'm a disciple. These apostles that lived in the, they were filled with God's Spirit. And here's the thing today, is that you can't be an unstoppable Christian in your own strength. Huh? A victorious Christian life isn't difficult, it's impossible. If the Spirit of God is not living inside of you. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? If the Spirit of God is not living inside of you, it is impossible to live your life for God. You can't do it on your own. You can't even know it. Everyone thinks they know. Y'all act like you don't think you know. Know you think you know. Can't even know it. Everyone thinks they know. Right? I'm not doing it, but I know. No, they don't. If it was me, I would do it like this. No, because even to know, you have to be in it. Okay, I can't get it. These unstoppable Christians in the New Testament were people who were courageous. Somebody say amen. They were courageous. They had courage. Ask yourself this question this morning. What is it that might be stopping you from being unstoppable? Think about that for a minute. If you haven't died to self and if you haven't allowed the Spirit of God to fill you with His power and fill you with His presence, you will never reach your full potential in Christ. Am I right? And it's the qualities of the Spirit-filled life, that life that is filled with the Spirit of God, that allows a person to live a life that is truly unstoppable. When you're marked by God, when you have the qualities, when there's evidence that the Spirit of the living God dwells and resides within inside of your life, it shows that you have the qualities of what it takes to be that truly unstoppable person that will fulfill the plan and the calling of God that He has for your life. That's right, you rest assured, it's not in your talents, it's not in your abilities, even your character will get you a long way. But if you have character, but you don't have the presence of God, if you don't have the Spirit of God, if you're not baptized in the power of the Spirit, there's only so much that you can do on your own strength. Eventually, it will be too difficult. Eventually, it will be too hard. Eventually, at some point in your life, you just won't have enough. But it was meant to be that way. It was meant for us to not have enough. It was meant for us to have just these earthen vessels that what is inside of us is the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us is what has the power, and not us who has the power. Somebody say amen. Because how many know that we can't touch the glory of God? You can't mess with the glory of God. You can't take from God's glory. You can't try to say it was you. You can't try to say you did this or you did that. The glory has to be absolutely and totally and completely reserved for God. Today we're looking at this, how we have an unstoppable purpose as a church, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Here it is. God was up to something in the first century church, right? And there was nothing that anyone could do about it. God was up to something in that first century. In that book of Acts church that you read about in the book of Acts, he was up to something. And the enemy came against it, and persecution came against it, but there was nothing that anyone could do to stop it. It was unstoppable. Like a tsunami, it was unstoppable, like a wind and a hurricane, like the ocean. Very few things in life are truly unstoppable. But unstoppable is the word that comes to mind when describing that early church. Somebody say amen. Think about it back then. How life was back then, the things that they went through, right? The conflict, the controversy, people wanting to kill them, people wanting to destroy them, people wanting to silence them and stop them. But think about it, instead of killing it, they tried everything they could. The highest authorities, the highest powers tried everything that they do to burn it down and stop it and kill it. But instead of killing it, these challenges that came against the church fueled the flame. It fueled the flame that made it spread and grow and grow and spread and spread and spread. And the more they tried to stop it, the more it grew. And the more they came against it, the more it spread. And the more they threw things at it, the more it was unstoppable, because God was on its side and there was nothing that they could do about it. Now, thousands of years later, it continues to spread. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of a sinful world, in the midst of when sin abounds, I want you to know this morning that the grace of God abounds that much more. And when people are running from God and denying God and wanting to kick God out of everything in this world, I want you to know that the Spirit of God is still greater, and there is a greater harvest, and that's why you and I are here, to reach that end time harvest for the glory of God. The first thing that I want to say this morning under that, the first point I want to give you is that challenges are not meant to stop us. Come on, somebody. I said challenges are not meant to stop us. Think about the obstacles they face, right? Those religious leaders, they try to muzzle the message that Peter and John were speaking. Am I right? They were told not to speak. Listen to this. They were told not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John were filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, the challenges, they don't stop you. They keep you alive, and you keep going forward, because God is bigger than the challenges that you face. So they wouldn't keep quiet. They couldn't be stopped. Somebody say unstoppable. Do you understand? They couldn't be stopped. I want you to know this morning that God's church cannot be stopped. In everything that they faced, they could not be stopped. They wouldn't keep silent. The leaders locked them up. Look at what happened next. In Acts 5, it says, but during the night, an angel of the Lord, they got locked up. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. I want you to know this morning that the challenges are not meant to stop you. That's what these Christians, that's what these disciples, that's what this early church teaches us, that it was not, these challenges were not meant to stop us. And after this miracle, right, and this angel freeing them from jail, setting them free, the angel told Peter and John to go back to the temple and pick up right where they left off. And they didn't soften the message. because we don't hold back any punches. Come on, somebody. And they went in there and they proclaimed and they told the full message and the full gospel to everybody that would hear it and whoever would be saved. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning if you know that that's unstoppable. They were to get right back to spreading the good news. Peter and John went right back to doing what God had called them to do. In spite of. Somebody say in spite of. In spite of the religious people. In spite of them trying to stop their enthusiasm. Come on, somebody. You ever had anybody try to stop your enthusiasm? You ever had anybody try to shut up your passion? You ever had anybody or anything try to block your effectiveness? Come on, somebody. In spite of these things that stood in their way, the Bible says the word of God continued to increase and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. I want you to know this morning that God has a plan for your challenges. I said God has a plan for your challenges. These New Testament believers, they were unstoppable. You just can't stop what God wants done. His will, His plan, His purposes will prevail. Somebody say amen. When the Church of Jesus Christ is what God designed it to be, it's an unstoppable force that brings hope to the world. Somebody say amen. You know, as spirit-filled, you know, Christians, as born-again believers, what we want is we want God's will to be accomplished in this world. Am I right? In fact, you and I, we have become instruments in the hand of God. Somebody say amen. In a little bit, I want to talk about how God is, God, you're a vessel. God is looking for a vessel, but you're an instrument in the hand of God. Let me give you some biblical examples. Joseph was unstoppable. Joseph had 10 older brothers who were ruthless. You ever knew some ruthless people? Come on, somebody. He had a boss who had an immoral and vindictive wife. His wife was like his wife. His life was like a roller coaster. There was a lot of peaks and valleys and peaks and valleys and ups and downs. Anybody ever had some ups and downs in your life? But somehow Joseph was able to maintain his faith in God. He had 10 angry, jealous brothers. He was in a pit, in a ship, a vindictive woman, years in prison, and none of them could stop Joseph because Joseph had a dream that God had given him. And when God gives you a dream and God gives you a promise, it is surely to come to pass. And 20 years later, his dream came to pass. I want you to know this morning that it might not happen overnight, but don't grow weary. Don't stop. Don't you dare give up. Don't you throw in the towel, because sooner or later, God is going to be faithful and come through with what he promised you. Our problem is that we want everything done overnight. If not overnight, you say, well, 5 years. It's been a long time. 10 years, man. Some people waited a long time. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, man. On the backside of a desert waiting for God to do what they thought God was going to do. It took a long time. But God's never late. He always shows up. He's always more than enough. And he's always on time. He might not show up when you want him to show up, but God will show up when he needs to show up, because those that trust in the Lord will never be put to shame. Joseph was unstoppable. David was unstoppable. He had an angry king with a cold-blooded army. He couldn't stop David. Somebody say amen. Gideon was unstoppable. The apostle Paul was unstoppable. Listen to this. He went through floggings, stonings, shipwrecks, and imprisonments, and they could not stop Paul. Listen, his attitude was, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's like the enemy said this. I'm not going to be too much long. I want you to just listen to this morning, because this is important for you to understand. That we are an unstoppable church. That we are unstoppable not because of who we are, but because of who God is. His attitude was this. It was like the enemy said, okay, Paul, if you say to live is Christ then we're going to kill you. And Paul said, that's okay, because for me to die is gain. And in that case, we're not going to kill you, but we will never let you live in peace. To which Paul said, that's okay too, because the sufferings of this present time are nothing compared to the glory that awaits me in heaven. You ain't hearing me this morning. In other words, Paul said, if you let me live, I'll serve the Lord. If you kill me, I'll go on to heaven. If you make me suffer, I'll have a bigger crown when I get there. Paul was basically saying, there's nothing you can do to stop me. I wish I had about 10 people that really believed that this morning. I wish that there was 10 people that believed in what the heart of the Apostle Paul was trying to say in the Word of God. He was saying, you can't do anything. If you come against me this way, if you come against me that way, it doesn't matter. In the end, I still win, because the one that is for me is bigger than the one that is against me. Challenges are not meant to stop us. The challenges are meant to glorify God. Challenges are not meant to stop us. They're meant to glorify the Lord. The things that you go through, God did not allow them to come your way to stop you or shipwreck you or cause you to quit. They came your way so that when God would see you through and come through for you, just like He comes through for every single one of His chosen people, that God was going to get the glory, that God is with them, and nobody can stop a faithful God. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you're excited about that. Challenges are not meant to stop us. Jesus was unstoppable. Somebody say amen. Satan couldn't stop Jesus. When they were killing Jesus, they thought they were winning, but they were actually losing. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap for that. Here's the point. I hope you're getting it this morning, that you are. That I am unstoppable, not because of who we are, but because of who chose us, because of who called us, because of who's with us, because of the one who said He's never going to leave us. That's why the enemy wants you to get frustrated, because if he can get you frustrated, you might quit. The enemy can't stop you, but you could stop yourself. You stop yourself when you quit. The only way you can lose is if you quit. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying. And he said, I'm not about to quit. I'm not about to give up, because either way I look at it, I still come out on top in the end. That's why my message to you this morning is never give up. Never give in, never quit. As a child of God, you will never lose. If you refuse to quit, I said, as a child of God, you will never lose. If you refuse to quit, you are unstoppable. God made plans for you before the world began. Do you understand that? God went through your whole life. He went through your whole life and then went back to the beginning and started you. Do you understand that? That all of the things that you sit here and you and I, we fall apart about, whether it's your mistakes or your failures or the things that come against you, that when God called you and when God chose you, He had already known that all of those things were going to happen, and He called you and He chose you anyway, because you have to understand that He's the designer, He's the blueprint maker, He's the one that knows how to get you over, get you through, get you under, break you through, and He knows when on that timeline He's going to show up and be God inside of your life. And I want you to know that God will always show up and be God inside of your life. If you are His, if you claim His name, if He washed you with His blood, you are His. And God is going to come through for you, and He's never going to fail you. You are unstoppable in Jesus. Oh, the enemy's good at what he does. He gets you to look at the negative. He gets you to look at this. And all he does is try to get you to quit, because he knows he can't stop you if you don't quit. One of these days we're going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on, somebody. Imagine that, the Apostle Paul, man. He was like, it's all right, because if you come against me, all that's going to happen is I'm going to get a bigger crown. How could we give him anything less than our best when he has given so much to us? Am I right? When the Spirit of God is on me, when the Spirit of God is in me, with me, and for me, how can I lose? How can I fail? How can I be stopped? Somebody say amen. Secondly, God just needs us to be willing vessels. Somebody say, I'm a willing vessel. Say it like you mean it, I'm a willing vessel. That's what I want to tell you this morning. You know what God needs in this place? All he needs is willing vessels. I said, all he needs is willing vessels. That's all he needs. Huh? God has always worked through human vessels. Why? I don't know. In fact, most of the time, God works through the most unlikely vessels. Why? I don't know why. God can use anyone. I said, God can use anyone. Think about it. Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. Mark was rejected by Paul. Timothy had ulcers. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon was too rich. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. Paul was a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. And Elijah was burned out. But I want you to know this morning that if God can use them, God can use you, God can use me, and God is just looking for willing vessels. Man, a Christian minister one time, they said something wise. They said, I was never of any use until I found out that God did not intend me to be a great man. Some of you don't because you think you got to be great. God is saying, I called you because you're not. I called you not because you're great. I called you because I'm great. I didn't call you because you're able. I called you because I'm able. I didn't call you because you know it all. I called you because I know it all. You ain't hearing me this morning. I called you not because you have the strength, but I called you because I have unlimited power, and in your weakness, my strength is made perfect inside of your life. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you believe that this morning. God needs us to just be vessels. The Bible says, he that believes on me, the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In other words, like this, let me picture it to like this. You know plumbing, right? Pipes and water. Okay, well, God can have all the plumbing in place, have the pump hooked up, ready to pour out blessings on his people and on the world, but he needs us to be vessels. He needs us to be the faucet. In many cases, the only thing that stops a move of God is the lack of a vessel. When Elijah was performing the miracle for the prophet's widow and the oil was flowing freely, think about it. As many vessels as they would have brought, the oil was flowing. It wasn't going to stop. It was going to keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. But the Bible says it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me another vessel. And he said unto her, there is no more vessels. And the oil stopped. God just needs vessels. The only thing that stopped the flow of the oil was the lack of the vessel. Don't ask me to explain why God uses imperfect people. It doesn't make sense to me that God, that our God who can do all things would choose to restrict himself to moving through imperfect people like you and I. I don't know why the creator of heaven and earth and the creator of everything chooses to move through things he created. But I want you to know this. God is always seeking for men and women through which he can move. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning if you are that vessel that you know that God wants to use. Ezekiel said that God was seeking a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. I wonder if there's a man in this place. I wonder if there's a woman in this place that when God is seeking for a man, God is seeking for a person, God is seeking for a vessel. I wonder if there's somebody here that says, here I am, God, use me. I might not be perfect, but I'm a willing vessel for your glory and for your honor. In the book of Revelation, John says that God wept because he couldn't find a man to open the book of salvation. So God himself took on the form of man to bring redemption. Do you understand this morning how important you are to the work of God? Huh? God doesn't want to move without a vessel. God will not pour out his spirit without a faucet to flow through. Somebody say amen. I want you to know this morning, you are that faucet. You are that vessel that God wants to use. God is looking for a man. God is looking for a woman. Are there any people in this place that are on fire for God that are willing to let God use them? And the last thing about that is that it's important that we understand that we can do nothing apart from God. Right? I'm a vessel, but I must remember that there's no greatness in the vessel alone. It's what is behind the vessel that counts. Somebody say amen. In other words, if the power supply ever gets shut off behind the wall, the faucet is useless. I may still look good. I may still say the same things. I may still appear to be the same. But if my power supply is shut off, I am of no use to anyone. Romans 7:18 says it like this. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I must understand that I'm only a vessel, a conduit for God to flow through. Somebody say amen. The Bible says this, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The power is God's. I said the power is God's. Give the Lord a hand clap if you know the power is God's. Worship team, we can't sing well enough. Come on, somebody. We can't, people of God, we can't preach well enough. We can't do well enough. We can't be smart enough to duplicate what only God can do. It's only the glory of God. Somebody say amen. I want you to stand with me this morning. I want the worship team to come and make their way. Lastly is this. Stay reverent before the Lord. This morning, you have to understand. God wants to move. He wants to move. He wants to move. He wants to move in your life. He wants to move through your life. As this place is filled with people that are driven by the Holy Spirit, I believe with all my heart, we are that place that God multiplies. Because we are an unstoppable force that changes the world. And we're an unstoppable force that changes the world because we are walking in the power of God. Apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. Somebody say amen. He gives us insight on what to do. He tells us when to stop and when to go. He guides and he directs our hearts. There's a lot of things that people could do in human ways to manufacture things and And numbers are good, and having numbers are great, but necessarily having numbers and filling up, churches and having mega churches, that doesn't necessarily make you an unstoppable church. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor Rob? Look at all those people. Look at all those numbers. Look at all that. Yeah, but that doesn't matter, because if you got that way through, human means and certain things, and there are certain things that we can do to be more effective, but it is when we're obedient to God and to His Word. It is when we're being obedient to the Lord that God makes us that unstoppable church that cannot be stopped. And then what happened, because what I'm saying this morning is this, is that because that early church, they grew in numbers. They grew a lot, man. They went from in a few weeks, man, they multiplied greatly. But they didn't multiply because they had a human strategy or plan. They multiplied greatly because there was people like the Apostle Paul that were in other words, people that had, how the Apostle Paul's life had been changed. There was people that had been changed like that. There was people that had been changed by the power of God. The power of the Holy Spirit was evident in that church. And so the growth that came from the power of the Holy Spirit, not by human methods. Methods are good. God will use methods, but He anoints people. And what I want you to know this morning is God will bring growth. God will bring multiplication. But He's just looking for a vessel. He's looking for a people. He's looking for people that will say, "Yes, God, here I am. Use me." Somebody say amen. As I said to you earlier, I want you to know this morning, this church is precious. She's a beautiful church. God's love towards her is indescribable. This is His bride. And she is unstoppable. But she is unstoppable not because of who we are, because we're more in number. She's unstoppable because of the one that chose her is unstoppable. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you believe that this morning. And the God that chose her is a jealous God. You are that church. You are that people that God has called. God loves you. He called you. He died for you. He chose you. That's why when you're His, someone comes against you. That's why He's your big papa. He's your father. That's why nobody can mess with you. Because you have a Father in heaven who fights for you, who stands by your side, who will run to your aid and will not let anybody mess with you. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you're grateful this morning. That's what makes you unstoppable. Because you're unstoppable this morning, then what is stopping you? What is stopping you? There should be nothing stopping us. Because if God be for us, who could be against us? So this morning, we're going to sing a song. I'm going to open up these altars, and I want you to come this morning. I want you to come from all over this place. I want you to come. I want you to come. And just for a few moments, I want you to spend some time with the Lord.